Can't wait till this is over. I say that every time, but I can't. But the Lord's in control of it, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm speaking this evening on this subject, gospel shoes. And we're looking a piece at a time at the armor that Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to begin reading in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's the first piece of armor, the belt of truth. If we don't have that piece, we don't have anything else. It's got to begin with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. We considered that last week. And that breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I've seen people and heard people who make this as a righteous life or righteous living. If you feel any confidence having that as your breastplate, go for it. But you'll find out it's no good. This is the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ that protects us. And then the third piece he mentions is in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation. And that word preparation is the noun form of the verb prepare. I go and prepare a place for you, the Lord said. Preparedness or readiness. What makes you ready? That's what the word means. And your feet shod with the preparation or the preparedness or readiness of the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would be pleased to speak in power to our hearts from your word and cause our feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How we thank you for the gospel of peace. May we be saved by the gospel of peace. May we enter into the joy and peace of believing. Lord, that's above the strength and energy of this flesh. We ask that you would do this for us and in us for Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sins. Lord, we pray for your presence toward every one of your people, that they might know that your God and beside thee is none else. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, when he is alluding to this shoe, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, he is talking about the shoes worn by the Roman soldiers. All of these pieces of armor come from the armor that the Roman soldiers wore, and they had a sandal boot called caliga. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I've looked it up, and that's the way it sounds like it. If somebody knows better, you can tell me later, but it's called caliga. And they were heavy-soled, hobnailed boots. A hobnail is a piece of brass sticking out the end, kind of like a cleat made out of brass nails. And this sandal boot was issued to every Roman soldier, and it was ideal for marching, and it was ideal for holding your ground in battle, kind of like a cleat. Now, the spiritual meaning of this marching is the spread of the gospel. We're to spread the gospel of peace. That's our message. Our message to this world is the gospel of peace. And we are to hold our ground and not be moved from this hope, the hope of the gospel of peace. This is what we're set for the defense of, the gospel of peace. Now, four times in this passage of Scripture with regard to this spiritual armor, Paul speaks of standing your ground, not being moved. Now, in sports, the shoes you're wearing are very important. For instance, if you were on a basketball court and you had on cleats and somebody started boxing you out, it would be easy to move you. They wouldn't grip to the floor. And if you're playing football or soccer, it's better to have a cleat that goes into the soil. One without cleats could make you be moved very easily. Your shoes are very important. And these shoes for the Romans were very important. Can you imagine going into a battle without shoes? Having a shield and a sword and a helmet and no shoes. In a rocky ground, I can't even imagine that. Can you imagine marching to another country without shoes? Shoes are so important. And the shoes the believer are called upon to be shod with is the gospel of peace. Our marching orders, the gospel of peace, how we stand our ground, the gospel of peace, the glad tidings, the good news of peace. Oh, may the Lord enable us to enter in to the gospel of peace. God is called the God of peace. Christ is called the Prince of Peace. The gospel is called the way of peace. Peace with God. Harmony. Concord. Agreement. Security. Safety. Tranquility. The state of a soul assured of salvation through Christ, therefore confident and content with whatever its earthly lot is. With regard to what we're going through right now, the coronavirus, I can't say that I like it. I look forward to times being where they were. And I realize that some people, I'm not one of them as of yet, but some people have actually lost their jobs and lost their incomes. And we feel very much for these people, and we want to help out in any way we can. But if you're a believer, whatever God brings your way, you have peace. Because He did it. You don't have to understand why He's doing it. You understand that it's Him. I love where the Lord said, walking on the water to His disciples, "It's I. Be of good cheer." So whatever it is, whatever trial the Lord brings your way, He says, "It is I. Be of good cheer." Whatever it is, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that's why a believer can be content and at peace no matter what God brings their way. Now this God of peace, this peace comes through the gospel of peace. Now let me say this with regard to the character of God. God is holy. God is just. God will never let sin go unpunished. The scripture says God is angry with the wicked every day. It tells us God is no respecter of persons, and the cross is the proof of that. When Christ bore the sins of His people on the cross, God was no respecter of persons. Christ was put to death by the justice of God. God is utterly just. Now, He must punish sin because of the perfection and the perfections of His being. Now, the God who is of too pure eyes to behold iniquity and who will by no means clear the guilty, that's what He said, I'll by no means clear the guilty, is a complete peace with every believer. If you're a believer, God is at peace with you. There's nothing for Him to be angry with. He is completely satisfied with you right now. You have a readiness. You have a preparedness for judgment day right now. You don't need anything to be done. It's already been done. There's nothing to fear, and that readiness is the gospel of peace. Now, how comfortable are these shoes? You know, it's very important that shoes be comfortable. You don't want to have uncomfortable shoes. Well, what could be more comfortable than shoes which are described as the readiness of the gospel of peace? These are the shoes the believer walks in when he walks by faith and not by sight. I love that passage of scripture that says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, how'd you receive him? As a sinner needing his mercy. You received him as everything in your salvation. You received him as your peace before God. The only thing that gives you peace is him. So walk in him. These gospel shoes are the readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, I want to give you several scriptures from the New Testament with regard to the gospel of peace. The Lord said in John chapter 14, verse 27, now listen to these words very carefully. Don't let one of these go by. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not peace I give unto you, but my peace. The peace that belongs to me, I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now I want you to think about the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the peace of knowing his Father is absolutely pleased with him. The Father looks upon him and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the peace of perfect righteousness. The Lord knows he's perfectly righteous before his Father. It's the peace of sinlessness. It's the peace of perfect obedience. It's the peace of omnipotence. He has nothing to fear. It's the peace of everything that is done is his will being done. He never worries. He never has anything to worry about because he's in control of all things. My peace. My peace. I give unto you. Now this is a peace that the world cannot possibly give. And what kind of comfort is in these shoes? My peace I give unto you. The peace that Christ himself has in his relationship before his Father belongs to every single believer in its fullness. My peace I give unto you. And then in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, you'll have trouble, you'll have heartache, you'll have sorrow, you'll have disappointment. In the world, you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Now, what's it mean by in me? Well, we're given a beautiful illustration of that in Hebrews chapter 7, where it says, Levi paid tithes in Abraham. Now how did he pay tithes in Abraham? He wasn't even born. Abraham was a great-grandfather. When Abraham paid those tithes to Melchizedek, the scripture says Levi paid the tithes. Doesn't say Abraham's tithe paying was counted to him. It says Levi himself paid those tithes because he was yet in the loins of his great-grandfather Abraham, so that everything Abraham did, he did. Now, I understand why the Lord says these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. If I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have peace because everything he's done, I've done. When he died, I died. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Don't look for peace in yourself. Don't look peace in anything that has anything to do with you. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, if you're in Christ, that means you have wisdom. God embraces you as wise. You have righteousness, the very righteousness of God. You have sanctification, perfect holiness. You have redemption, full deliverance. Now, here's our standing before God on Judgment Day. This gospel of peace, this being in him. Listen to the words of Paul in Philippians 3:9. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In him we have perfect peace, not in the world, just in him. Now here's the third scripture I would like to consider in this thing of these shoes the believer wears, the gospel of peace. Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace, speaking of the work of Christ on the cross, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven or things under the earth, and you that were sometime or before time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now what did he do by the blood of Christ? He reconciled us. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't have any part in this. It wasn't a cooperative effort. He reconciled us. Reconciliation is what God does. I love that scripture. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Romans 5:10 says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Now, you didn't have any part in that except being an enemy. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And here's what this reconciliation looks like. And this is where this peace comes from. His reconciling death on the cross made every believer, according to verse 22, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now let me tell you something. If I'm holy, if I'm unblameable, if I'm unreprovable in the very sight of God, I feel peace. There's nothing for the Lord to be mad at, nothing for him to be angry with. He sees that in me which is holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Next scripture is Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, literally having been justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, justification. In Christ's great work on the cross, he justified the ungodly. Not only have I been shown mercy, not only have I been given grace, not only have I been forgiven, I have been justified. Don't miss the meaning of that. Romans 3:24 says that he justified us freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Freely, freely, with no contribution from you, you have been justified by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now let me remind you what that means. That means I stand before God having never sinned. I've never broken one of the Ten Commandments. I've kept them all perfectly. I've loved God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength. And I've loved my neighbor as myself. There's nothing that can be laid to my charge. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. This is how we stand. This is our message, our marching orders, the gospel of peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul makes this statement, and I wish I could speak on this statement the way it ought to be spoken on. Ephesians 2, 14 says, He is our peace. My peace is not a feeling. My peace is Him. He is my peace before God. How at peace is the Father with the Son? Oh, there's perfect peace, perfect harmony between the Father and the Son. He is our peace. That's the peace every believer possesses. Everything God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. And everything God requires of me, I look to His Son for. And what peace there is there. Now, you'll notice when Paul opens just about every epistle, he says, grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you are saved. Grace isn't an offer. God doesn't offer you grace any more than He offers you forgiveness. When I hear preachers say, God offers you forgiveness. No, He doesn't. If you're forgiven, He forgives you. And you find out He's forgiven you. Grace is no offer. Grace saves. Oh, the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what Peter said. We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as those Gentiles. And this is spoken of in such a way as you could properly translate it each of these three ways. We believe that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been saved. Plumb saved, completely saved. Nothing else needed. We believe that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're being saved. Right now, present tense. And we believe, as Peter said, that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. You see, if God be for us, who can be against us? If salvation really is all of grace, is it? Is that what the Bible teaches? Being justified freely by His grace? Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, if salvation really is all of grace, oh, what peace we have. I don't have to look for anything from me. I look to the grace of God as my peace. And then Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul says, the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not rules and regulations. There's not something, if you refrain from it, you're better off, or if you take it, you're better off, or worse off if you don't. Quit thinking that way. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, the righteousness that he is speaking of is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The law-keeping of Jesus Christ. The righteousness which is of God. Now, the reason I'm going to be able to behold His face in righteousness is because I have nothing less than the righteousness of God as my personal righteousness before God. That's what the kingdom of heaven's about. Having God's righteousness. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, brethren, if our personal righteousness is the righteousness of God, I know something about these next two words. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to read a passage of scripture from John chapter 20. This is after the Lord was raised from the dead. We read beginning in verse 19. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands, those nail-pierced hands. He put away his garment, and they saw where the spear had gone through his side. When he said, peace to you, he showed them his scars. And the scripture says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, when I'm in heaven, when I'm saved to sin no more, when I'm perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, I'm going to know that the only reason I'm there is because of those scars in his hands and his feet and that scar in his side. Even then, that's going to be my peace. We sing that song, There Is a Fountain, and I love that song. I love that song. But when he says, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more. He didn't get it right there. The blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. And it is the reason the church is saved to sin no more, continually because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What made the disciples glad when they saw his hands and his side and they had some understanding? And I tell you what, in heaven, we'll know the only reason we're there is him. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, Paul made this statement in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. What rule? I hear people say, well, you need to walk according to the Ten Commandments. That's our rule of life. Do you get peace from that? Your own personal walk? Your efforts to keep the commandments? If you get peace from your efforts to keep the commandments, it's because you don't know what the Ten Commandments are in the first place. You don't understand the spirituality of them. And you don't have any understanding how sinful you really are. Problem is, you've never been born again. If you think that that is your rule of life, you've just never been born of God. Well, what is the rule of life that the believer walks by that he receives this peace from? Well, Paul tells us in the context, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Now, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. The only way you'll have peace is if by the grace of God you glory only in the cross. You don't glory in your works. You don't glory in anything but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have confidence in. Nothing else. Now, if you have confidence in nothing else, you'll have peace. If you have confidence in anything else, you won't have true peace. You may say you do, but it's phony. It's like that fake news. It's not real. The only peace there is the peace that comes from glorying, having confidence only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Luke chapter 7, verse 50, and Luke chapter 8, verse 48, the Lord said to two different women, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now wait a minute. I'm supposed to get peace from my faith? It's my faith that saves me? Listen, my faith didn't keep the law for me. Christ did. My faith didn't die on Calvary's tree. Christ did. My faith was not raised from the dead. Christ was. My faith is not what saved me. Christ did. All together. And that's what my faith believes. You see, faith, true saving faith, gives all the glory to Christ. And that's why Christ puts such honor on faith. When you have faith, that means you look to Christ only. Not Christ and. Christ only. And that, my dear friends, is saving faith. And the Lord says to these two dear women, go in peace. Thy faith, that faith that looks to me only as everything in salvation, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. This is what Paul calls the joy and the peace of believing. Now, we march in this world as soldiers of the cross. And our preparedness or readiness is the gospel of peace. Our standing, firmly planted, is in the gospel of peace. Now, let me make a few closing comments. God's peace with me through the gospel is gospel peace. Our peace with God is through the gospel of peace. Nowhere else. The same thing that God derives his peace from with us, we derive our peace from. That he is our peace. Now, our peace of conscience is found only in the gospel of peace. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21 when he spoke of the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Now, the only thing that produces a good conscience, and a good conscience is a conscience that doesn't have anything to feel bad about, doesn't have anything to feel guilty about. Somebody says, well, my conscience is clear on that matter. Well, no, your conscience is seared. It's not clear. It's just not working right, or you wouldn't say that. But the only way a conscience is a good conscience is if there's absolutely nothing to be guilty about. When Christ was raised from the dead, I have nothing to feel guilty about. I have perfect righteousness before God. Now, we are at peace with his providence. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What peace we have with his providence, knowing he is controlling everything for his glory. And for our good. I don't need to understand what he's doing. And I might have very difficult things ahead of me. But he is Lord. And he's causing everything to work together for my good and the good of all of his people and his glory. To everyone who loves God, to everyone who is the called according to his purpose. Here are the shoes we wear when we face death. Do you remember what Simeon said? Lord, Now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. If Christ is salvation, I am ready to depart in peace without fear of death. And until then, this is our message to the world. The same thing Peter said to Cornelius and those listening, peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That's our message. And here's our practice. If it be possible, it's not always possible. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you is, live peaceably with all men, especially they who are of the household of faith. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. What a glorious shoe we're given. The readiness, the preparedness of the gospel of peace. That's the message we march through this world. That's the message we're set for the defense of, and will not, by the grace of God, be moved from the gospel of peace. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How we thank you for the gospel of peace. How we thank you for the peace our Redeemer achieved for us. Lord, give us the grace to walk through this world in these shoes, the gospel of peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.